Stop the podcast.
Stop the podcast.
Hi, everybody. Just to let you know, this episode of Fish is sponsored by TV licensing.
Yes, TV licensing. What are you watching on TV, Andy?
I have been watching a show that's called 2 Weeks in August.
Okay.
Despite it being July at the time of recording.
Oh, you don't have to watch TV shows in the time that their name references.
No, absolutely. I watched The Darling Buds of May in winter. Anyway, 2 Weeks in August. It's a really good series. It's set on a lovely Mediterranean holiday.
Ooh.
And it's a group of old mates from uni who've gathered together. Some of them have got kids, some of them haven't. Some of them have been going through big life events. And it's one of those amazing pressure cooker series where things just get more and more and more tense.
Oh, those stressful ones.
I love it. I love it.
I love my comedy, I gotta say. So I've been watching Android, which is Diane Morgan's new thing, and I absolutely love it. But I just, for me, I always, on television, watch everything with someone from Bolton in it. That's basically all I watch.
And she's from Bolton.
She's from Bolton.
But in this show, I believe she's a robot.
She's a robot, and it is not certain where in the country she's from.
It depends where the facility is that makes her, I suppose.
I guess so. But what are we actually here to say?
Oh, we're here to say that if you want to watch any of these shows, your TV license covers you to watch over 400 TV channels and everything on BBC iPlayer.
That is incredible.
So 2 Weeks in August has finished going out now, but you can get hold of it on the iPlayer.
If you want to find out more about this, then go to tvl.co.uk/pod.
Now back to the tension and the stress and the misery of this episode of Fish.
Oh, I thought you were referencing Bolton. On with the podcast.
The Killer Bees!
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 proudly present The Killer Bees.
Definitely a fan of The Killer Bees.
Now bringing you the fastest 3 hours in Houston sports radio, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
What up, H-Town? Hey, how we doing? He's Blank, I'm Branham. Brendan behind the glass. The band is back together. It is the Killer Bees on a Monday edition on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. There's more gusto in the voice of Joe, I felt like, with that what up, H-Town, than normal. I think you're happy the band's back together.
He missed me.
I think he did.
I think he did. Both are full of Hey, it's Monday. Let's work. That's all I figured out. I came here.
You had some more gusto in your voice. You might be trying to turn. You might be trying to like deny it.
Maybe because I had the caffeine later. I'm not happy. The inside Nordic track, 45 minutes in, that I've been having major issues with the repair people. They just put a new belt on it. It completely sounded and acted like it was going to throw me off the treadmill, and started like grumbling, and the wheels underneath started moving. So I got off of that. And had to finish on the outdoor in the garage treadmill just to stay dedicated to get it done. But I got it delayed everything. And so then I got my coffee late. So maybe the caffeine kicked in a little extra. I don't know.
Or maybe it hasn't kicked in yet.
Oh, I believe it's kicking. Yeah. How about you doing a doubleheader yesterday?
It's nothing. I mean,
nothing. He does a basketball game and then figures, oh, what the hell, and does a baseball game that night.
The amount of times I've done two games in one day, like...
Yeah, it's old hat because it's you, but, you know, I'm just saying for the rest of the common folk, I thought it was quite an accomplishment.
Well, thank you. I think I've done 3 games in a day before. Like, I mean, I've done a lot of high school games, too, like, back in the day. Yeah, so, like, baseball tournaments, I've done, like, 4 baseball games in a single day. Or you get, like, a basketball tournament, and you're doing it for, like, you know, some high school company, you do, like, 3 or 4 in a row. So, yeah, I mean, I've done and women's basketball, men's basketball, doubleheaders, things like that.
Okay.
Killer Bees, ESPN 975, ESPN 925. Okay, Lovie Smith, head coach of the Houston Texans. Fifth head coach in Houston Texans franchise history. Did you see what Justin Reed had to say? The idea of the Lovie Smith hire? He said that was a tremendous hire, and he's not opposed to re-signing with the Texans because Lovie Smith is the head coach of the Houston Texans.
Well, I think the Texans should be opposed to be re-signing him, unless it comes at a very, very good price. I think that's all fine and dandy, and the love affair that was there when they were together a year ago is fantastic. I think that if you're Justin Reed, you should still remember exactly how you were treated at the end of your final season with the Houston Texans, and the fact that as good as you were on and off the field and how dedicated you were to being a role model and an upstanding citizen, they sold you out in public, and then... you worked it out, and they basically sold you out because you raised your voice to a coach to basically stick up for what you'd been doing. I think he's going to get a lot more money than the Texans should pay him. I think that he's As good a guy as he is, I think he's about an average safety, a little better than average safety. And I think that with where the Texans are in this rebuild, they don't need to be spending extra money to keep a good guy on the roster, and that they should just let Lovie and Justin Reed be friends, but leave it at that.
I agree with 95% of what you said.
Okay.
The 5% where I'm going to push back a little bit, should we blame the Texans for how Justin Reed was treated last year? Or can we pin that on David Culley?
Well, you can try and pin it on David Culley, but it seemed to me, as with everything else that we've seen with this franchise, that David Culley was having the strings pulled by Nick Caserio, and that Nick Caserio's way is actually the way of the land. Otherwise, it's his way or the highway, and that's what happened to David Culley. I think David Culley could have probably tried to make a statement or two here or there. He picked the wrong guy in the wrong situation if that was all on him. I don't know that it was all on him. I don't know that, and if you think about it, too, with the way that you refer to the fact that he sounds like a smart guy, but if you're Nick Caserio, you could also have set the table for parting ways with Justin Reed by saying, hey, we had some issues last year. We appreciate what he's done here. We decided to move on.
The way that I read that Justin Reed quote was more of like, okay, if they give me more money than anybody else, yeah, I'd be willing to come back to the Houston Texans. I'm on your side where I don't feel like Justin Reed is going to be worth the money that he's going to get out on the open market. Like, you can monitor the situation. You can see if you can get him for less than you feel like he's worth. And in that case, then yeah, sure, bring him back. I just don't feel like that's going to be the case. And some comments from Nick Caserio we'll get to later in the show that kind of lets us know his direction of how he's going to, how active he's going to be in free agency. And then also, I think a really good thought and a really good way to look at this free agency period is we're going to learn a lot about what Nick Caserio is going to be. We're going to do that later on the show as well. But here's the thing with the like how I read the Justin Reed situation. It's not so much the individual in Justin Reed, because I, like you, don't feel like he's going to, you know, he doesn't give you the value for what I believe he's going to get out on the open market. I believe Justin Reed's days as a Houston Texan are done. I think we've been saying that since like week 5
yeah.
of the NFL season, even before the suspension. That said, The amount of people that go to talk about Lovie Smith and go to bat for Lovie Smith, here is Justin Reed, who had a bad taste in the franchise, it's talking about how good of a hire this is. You see his former players, whether it's Brian Urlacher, Devin Hester, speak glowingly about Lovie Smith. It seems like it's pretty universal that people love mm-hmm. Lovie Smith. And this is something that you said when they hired him, is that, and I think you kind of mentioned it when talking about Brian Flores as a potential hire. You mentioned it as well after they hired Lovie Smith, is that perhaps an underrated part of having Lovie Smith as the head coach is he might attract free agents to Houston.
Yeah. No, it's absolutely a possibility. Look, I think that he's made a lot of positive waves throughout the league over the course of his existence as a head coach and especially as a defensive coordinator. And I think that means something. And I think then coming off of everything that happened with the suit with Flores, it's going to mean more in some regards. And I think that the respect that Lovie Smith has, the desire for players to want to play for a guy that they can relate to and they can feel comfortable with, as opposed to, hey, the money's great, but you're going to put me in a really tough situation on a day-to-day basis because I don't like what's going on and what I've heard, locker room, general manager, coach, et cetera. I think it is a possible advantage for the Houston Texans. Now, they're not in a situation to win and really go for it to where they're going to attract some big names to that point. But I think that it's the start of something where if he's going to be here for a couple of years and guys go, look, if I have push comes to shove and I can play for Lovie or I can play for a guy that I don't really believe in or trust, I'm going to play for Lovie.
Yeah, I think that's the second way to look at this, too, is the fact that he's not going to get fired after year one.
Right.
They fired David Culley after one season. That was a terrible look. A lot of people are advocating to keep David Culley and that he surpassed expectations of what the Houston Texans were going to be. If you watch the Houston Texans week in, week out, you can understand that he was overwhelmed for the job. And moving on from David Culley was more than acceptable from Nick Caserio. Now, you can bash Nick Caserio for hiring the guy in the first place, and that's something that I'll listen to, and I think it's a very valid point. But Lovie Smith is going to be here for more than one season.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's a good chance he's going to be here for more than two seasons. It looks like he's going to be here for at least, like, the next 3 years. And we heard rumors of the contract being up to three seasons. Like, I think that's a fair gauge of how long Lovie Smith will be the head coach of the Houston Texans is 3 years. So when you look at the players that he could potentially attract to Houston in free agency, it doesn't necessarily have to be this offseason. Because, look, I don't want the Texans to be huge players in free agency this offseason. They have $17, $18 million in cap space. Now, they can clear like $15, $20 million more rather easily. But it also, to me, takes a very you know, unique free agent to come into the system. We want him to be young. We want him to be part of the rebuild. We want him to be here for 3 to 5 seasons where the, when the organization, when you're hoping that they can win again, that he's still going to be a part of that. But when you look at it long term, year 2, year 3 of Lovie Smith, that's where I think the fact of having him as the head coach can be very underrated whenever you're looking at free agents across the league.
Now, it's interesting, Jeremy, that you mentioned that because I was reading this Bill Barnwell article on ESPN Plus about what all the 16 AFC teams have to do during this offseason. And the first thing is, as a headline, because we've been telling you this now for weeks, is to turn the page from the short-term veterans on the end of their career trying to prove that they still belong in the league and go younger. The headline is, don't settle for veteran stopgaps and build a young core if you're the Houston Texans. And goes on to start talking about whatever they had to do for a year or so, that they should now turn the page and really set their sights and focus on how to make this team better. And I think that that's the key. The final sentence of the write-up on the Texans says, if Houston comes out of another offseason with a roster full of guys on short-term deals, it's not going to amount to much more than spinning its wheels. Now, I think that there's a caveat to that. I think if you get a young guy that you're not sure of coming off an injury or otherwise, but you're sure of the fact that he fits the other requirements, he's young, he hasn't reached his ceiling yet, maybe he was in the wrong situation when he got into the league, that you can get him, but you're still not willing to commit for one reason or another, health-wise or otherwise, to a longer-term deal. But if he proves it, you want to be in the mix to bring him back. I think that's a caveat you need to consider. But other than that, I think that they definitely – that Barnwell is actually picking up what we've been putting down for a while, which is you got to focus now, instead of getting the guys on the downside of their career, getting guys that haven't actually started the progress on an upside to their career.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's whenever you look at the free agency period for the Houston Texans in 2022, I think that's the way that you have to go about it. The only veterans that should be signing with this team, like, I'm okay with the one-year veteran, to be honest with you, because you have to fill out a roster, right? Like, I'm all right with the Rex Burkhead for 1 year. I'm fine with the Danny Amendola for 1 year. What you don't want to see is trading for Marcus Cannon. You don't want to see them trading a fourth rounder for Marcus Cannon. You don't want to see a sixth rounder for a Ryan Finley who doesn't even make the team. Like, everything the Texans should do in the offseason should be with the future in mind, whether it's 2023, 2024, and beyond. But I think Lovie Smith helps that. And many people didn't even look at the free agency aspect of things when hiring Lovie Smith. I don't think Nick Caserio did either. Whenever you're hiring a head coach, you're not looking to see what kind of impact that it makes in free agency. I think it's more of a happy accident that, oh, this guy's universally loved. It's the guy we ultimately decided to be the head coach, but the fact that the players love him, I think, is something that is helpful on a couple of fronts. One, re-signing your own players if it's a player that you want to re-sign, and then also getting those players that you want to bring into the program that you're hoping to get at less than market value.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. And I think the one thing that I've been stuck on that I really like is the fact that Lovie Smith played his cards right to get the job. But once he got the job, and the interviews and the quotes that we've heard from him talking to people getting ready for this season, is essentially, whether it's conversations he's already had with Caserio or what his stance is going to be when they do talk, is basically, my resume trumps your resume. And so you can do what you did a year ago because you had the right to do that, because you had a guy that had zero experience and you had, you know, a way that you thought was the best way to do business. But the way I've always done business, including taking a team to a Super Bowl and having some success and being in the league as long as I've been, is the fact that I'm not going to have you on the headsets. I'm not going to let you pick my whole staff. I'm not going to do the kind of things that you were doing a year ago, because I'm not taking this to do it half-assed and have, you know, and be the puppet that Geppetto's controlling. I'm going to do it the way I know how to do it best. So you might as well respect me now, and we can work on the same parallel level to try and get things accomplished, as opposed to him pulling strings on a coach and making the coach the scapegoat at the end of the year.
It's Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Is it an underrated, underappreciated part of hiring Lovie Smith, the impact he could be with free agents choosing the Texans, not necessarily this offseason, but going forward when the Houston Texans are trying this rebuild? 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. We're on Twitch, twitch.tv/ESPN975. He's at Pac-Man Joel on Twitter. I'm at Jeremy Branham. All right, Brendan's only one day being back in the H. He went home over the weekend. He missed Thursday, Friday, left us for his real friends, was hanging out with them. He's only been back for one day, and Joel already, surprise, surprise, Joel already has an issue with Brendan. We discuss next. Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5.
ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Real fun sports. Now back to the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Killer Bees, ESPN at 97.5, ESPN 92.5. So, Joel and Brendan chat almost every morning. Neither one of them calls me, but that's besides the point. Brendan was away. He was in Michigan. He wasn't at that little sauna where you get steaks. I texted
Brendan
the other day.
We got to ask about that. Yeah, because that came up, and I was trying to I was telling him about that.
When I texted you, I forgot the name of the place. Schnitzel or something like that?
Schvetti Balls.
Schvetti Balls.
I don't think it was. Hold on. I can pull it up.
Spritzers or something like that.
I was watching a cooking show the other, not really a cooking show, but more of like those little, it's kind of like the Triple D show on Food Network, where they go certain places and they try different foods and like unique restaurants, unique dives, diners, drives. But this was actually one on Netflix, and I don't even remember what it was called.
Schvitz.
But this guy went to Schvitz and had a sweat and a steak, and for some reason I remembered it on the air, and I was curious, since you were, from the Michigan area, from the Detroit area, if you'd ever been, and you said you'd never been.
I asked my dad if he'd ever heard of it either, and he said no. Really? I told Joel, I would be surprised. Yeah, I did. I would be surprised if I could find somebody who's heard of it. It's not necessarily my scene.
It's a good old boys club.
I think swingers and people that like brothels would have known exactly where it would. They'd still know exactly where it's at.
One of the most unique restaurant designs or concepts that I've ever heard of. Anyways.
Sounds hygienic, too, by the way.
Yeah, I mean, it's good. It's good for the health. Anyways, Brendan and Joel had a little phone conversation this morning. Brendan's been in Houston for less than 24 hours, less than 12 hours at this point. And Joel already getting mad at our producer who works very hard for our show. What's up with that?
I don't know that I was getting mad, but I was questioning taste. And then, because he was telling me that while he was home, he had a chance to have like an impromptu, almost like a class reunion, and got to catch up with a bunch of people he grew up with. And it was really, really cool. And I go, kind of like a Breakfast Club all over again. He's like, a what? I go, you've seen the movie Breakfast Club, right? And he goes, no.
What's wrong with that?
Are you kidding me?
I've never seen it.
You've never seen it either?
Uh-uh. I've eaten at the Breakfast Club in Houston, but I've never seen the movie The Breakfast Club.
It's a classic.
I'll take the breakfast place over the movie. Don't at me. 713-780-3776.
And at him hard, because there's some classic. Go ahead, defend yourself.
I mean, I here's what I would say. I don't know if this is really defending myself. I actually think it's digging the hole deeper. I don't know if I've seen any movie that was made in the 80s.
Okay, but
ever?
I think it's a very real possibility. I've never seen a movie that was made in the 80s.
All right, so listeners, here's where it gets worse, all right? Because we're now doing our prep here at the station, getting ready to go on the air, diligently doing what we do for you. And the conversation comes up of our conversation earlier in the morning, to which a colleague of ours, who knows it all, brought up a list of movies and things and classics and things like that, to which he said, well, come on, that's like not seeing The Godfather, to which Brendan quickly responded, haven't seen that either. I'm sorry, what?
I haven't seen it.
Oh, my God, people. To which we just started rattling off classic movies, to which the answer to have you seen it in every case was no.
It was actually no.
From Fast Times at Ridgemont High to Shawshank Redemption to The Usual Suspects, on and on, and Brendan's like, nope.
It was actually no to every single one. I didn't say yes once.
I'm not sure I've seen any of those movies either.
The hell's wrong with you? You travel.
Yeah. So actually, like, I had a weird quirk for a while where I was trying to watch every movie that's ever been nominated for Best Film for the Oscars.
Oh, that's painful, because there's a lot of those foreign films that I'll pass on.
I haven't made it very deep, but I was going in reverse order, like the most recent into the past. So like a lot of these movies that you're talking about, I haven't seen. Like The Godfather, I almost watched The Godfather once on this long trip, but I didn't, like, it didn't download correctly, so I didn't have a chance to watch it. That Godfather is on my list, but I have not seen it yet.
That all the Godfather type movies, Goodfellas, he didn't see that.
I think I've seen Goodfellas.
If you just think you've seen it, you really haven't seen it.
Jake Esmond on Twitch has helped clarify for me. I have seen at least a couple 80s movies, because I have seen Ferris Bueller's Day Off, and I've seen every Star Wars.
I've seen The Irishman.
But there aren't many.
God, you got... Seriously, no, wait a minute.
I can't do Star Wars.
Jake, just text me, because I'm not twitching. But at the same time, but you've seen every Star Wars. So that you've taken that in. But you've seen Ferris Bueller's Day Off, but you haven't seen like the real classic like 80s movies.
Blame my father, because I think both all of
the
Star Wars movies.
This is a problem. What the hell's wrong with this man?
All of the Star Wars movies and Ferris Bueller's Day Off were both because of him. I think he made me watch both of those.
I was thinking about this the other day, too. Like, I can't remember the last time I sat down to watch a movie. Like, I really can't. Because, like, COVID, like, took you out of theaters for a long time, right? Like, I haven't been in a theater since pre-COVID, for sure. I don't think I've actually seen a movie on, like, Netflix or, like, I have Hulu. I haven't seen one on Hulu. Like, I'll binge shows and we'll watch, like, these shows and, like, watch a couple of hours of television. Like, I just finished Inventing Anna, that Anna Delvey story on Netflix. But, yeah, I haven't watched a movie in probably years.
Man, there are such classic lines. They actually, as part of high school, show the movie Breakfast Club as like part of the curriculum when with kids and dealing with issues and things like that. And I think that's genius. I think that's fantastic. I mean, there's so many classic lines from that movie. And of course, it was at a time, too, when all those actors, well, the Brat Pack that everybody, St. Elmo's Fire and Pretty in Pink with Molly Ringwald and The Breakfast Club and all those different kinds of movies. But man, I mean, there are some absolute classics that are just. But here's the thing. You travel. When you travel with a sports team, every traveling sports team has a Screen Actors Guild member, whether they are or not.
It's kind of changed, though, now with, like, Netflix and Amazon Prime. Now that you can download the movie straight to your, like, computer or your iPad, like, it's changed quite a bit. Because whenever I was traveling earlier in my career, you would have, like, people that would have the DVDs or whatever the case may be. But now it's just, like, you just download what you want to watch off Netflix. You download what you want to watch off Amazon Prime. Like, I have a show that I'm currently watching when I travel. It's The Americans. I'm catching up on The Americans.
Okay.
So, like, I binge shows as opposed to watching movies. I don't know. It's something that I have. But, yeah, The Breakfast Club movie or The Breakfast Club restaurant, if you had to quit one of them, if you couldn't do one of them for the rest of your life, what would
movies
it be?
Movies on one of my top 10 favorites of all time.
Really? What's your favorite?
Wow, there's several. There's a lot of good ones. Usual Suspects is up there. Shawshank Redemption is up there. I'm trying to avoid like the actual like the sports type related movies.
Yeah, see, sports movies are sometimes hard for me to watch because they're so bad in terms of like scenarios.
Yeah.
Like, remember the Titans?
Unrealistic? Yeah.
Like, where the other team could take a knee and they'll win the game, but for some reason they're running the football and they get stripped and all of a sudden the ball's loose and the defense runs it back for a touchdown.
Right.
I'm just sitting there with my forehead in my hand saying, who advised these people for this movie? 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776.
Without giving too much away, though, what I was referring to, and Brendan, you may not be referring up to speed with this too. The Screen Actors Guild of every traveling sports team. Someone on the staff knows someone that gets you new release movies that are in the movie theater and like on a, and can get like a hard drive with a flash drive that has like every freaking movie that's out right now. And you can be like Siskel and Ebert type. You can be like Screen Actors Guild in terms of rating movies. You can see everything you want to see. And that's why I was kind of shocked with the amount of traveling that Jeremy does.
Yeah, but you just download whatever you want to watch nowadays. Peter King, he's got to be a Hall of Famer, right? The General's a Hall of Famer. Peter King's a Hall of Famer. But anyways,
Monday morning quarterback.
Yeah, not anymore.
I know, but I mean that's what he's known for. Yeah. So that's he'll get some love for that.
Albert Breer's taken over for the Monday morning quarterback, but Peter King still does a Monday morning quarterback. It's just not titled Monday morning quarterback. It's like his week in review or whatever the case is. He had something in his mailbag today talking about the Deshaun Watson legal stuff. And it's just more delusion from people who have no idea how the court process works whenever they're commenting on stuff like this. King said it's insane that the Watson camp has not driven this situation to a conclusion. Regardless how much it might hurt Watson's reputation and wallet, as it stands now, a team that waits to see the legal outcome for Watson might be passing on the majority of this year's quarterback crop and maybe even the draft. I just don't understand slow playing this for a year and now longer. There's a such thing as the grand jury in criminal cases that have yet to indict or not indict Deshaun Watson to face criminal charges in this thing. Like, even if Deshaun Watson were to settle every single one of these cases, because you have different women that have filed criminal complaints against Deshaun and not necessarily civil complaints against Deshaun, they have to wait until the grand jury indicts. Tony Busby's not going to just okay, yeah, I'm going to sign off on this lowball deal before they might even be facing criminal charges. Like, the amount of delusion you get from this Deshaun Watson legal stuff from people who have no idea how the legal system works, it's pretty maddening, to be honest.
It's kind of why we had your buddy, we had the attorney on that we did, because we're trying to get some clarity for all the people that seem to think it's as easy as some of these guys would like you to make you believe that it is, that they can just come right out and that it's amazing that it's still going on and that a year and a half or however long it's been, that a no deal has been consummated yet and that's ridiculous and it should have been. No one is willing to mortgage their future for the unknown when they know that so much is hanging in the balance. No one is willing to do it. I'm so sick and tired of talking about Deshaun Watson and all the scenarios, and that means that we've been doing it for far too long, and that means that it's been dragging out. That's why when you had your lawyer on, I'm not saying your personal lawyer, but your contact that was a lawyer on, and he was great. The big thing I wanted to know was, is this normal? Is this par for the course for how long something like this should take to play out? Because with the sports element added into it, there's far more attention to it, and there's far more people clamoring for it to go quickly. And he said basically it's actually a little ahead of schedule, which makes you really realize what the hell's going on in our court system today, too. But you think about it going, well, my goodness, because the last thing that any Texans fan wants to fathom is another full season of this. But it's a possibility because of how slow everything's taking.
Yeah. David Overhaul saying that this is actually taking, it's actually going quicker than mm-hmm. what a normal situation might go if it wasn't like somebody of a prominent name, wasn't somebody that has the same cachet of a Deshaun Watson. 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. Is a star being born right before our eyes? On the Houston Rockets, we talk about it next. Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5.
Hey, right now I want to tell you about the good people at Apollo Men's Health. Look, I've been telling you about them for quite a while. You guys have heard me talk about them, but the great thing is you've actually acted on it, and there's so many people when I go in the lobby that tell me, hey, I'm here because I heard it from you, and now I'm getting the results. It's fantastic. And I said, well, tell a friend. Let everybody know that there is hope for you no matter what you're trying to get back to doing, whether it's just having more energy in your life during the day or you want to make more gains and get stronger in the weight room. Maybe you want to lose some weight. Maybe you want to recover quicker because you're sore after being in the gym. All those things can be taken care of and so much more. And it starts by making an appointment with Apollo Men's Health. Go to apollomh.com. When you do, you're going to find out that most major insurance is accepted. There's discounts for military personnel. You want a free B12 shot, mention my name, Joel Blank. Get one like I do every Friday. And I'm telling you right now, it gives you a little boost of energy. You feel it throughout the week. And it's a fantastic start. But then tell them what your goals are. Tell them what you're trying to accomplish. It's a new year. It's a new you. And just like you invest in the stock market, you have to invest in your health. And that is exactly what you need to do with Apollo Men's Health. So essentially from the boardroom to the weight room, to even the bedroom. They can help you if you're having issues, but you got to be honest with them once you can make that first appointment. Show up in person, answer the questions, tell them what you're trying to achieve. They're going to put you on a plan that works, and they're going to get you results. Dr. O knows what he's doing. He takes care of you. He's been at those other clinics. He's already seen what works and doesn't, and he's only going to get you the stuff that's going to show you the results that you're looking for. They're great people doing great things. Check them out today. It's the good people at Apollo Men's Health.
It's Too Tall Jones, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to The Killer Bees with Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios.
Blank and Branham, Brendan behind the glass, Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Some basketball over the weekend. Houston over SMU yesterday, 75-61. Got a little revenge, got a little atonement for falling to SMU at Moody Coliseum earlier this season. Great crowd inside the Fertitta Center. Cougars now two games up in the American Conference race. Magic number down to one with three games left to play. They get Cincinnati tomorrow night, Temple on Thursday night, and then head to Memphis over the weekend. Yesterday was the first of four games in 8 days for the Cougars. So bit of a tough stretch, but Houston looking good yesterday. We get closer and closer to March. Tomorrow's first day of March, in fact.
Yeah, no, look, it's been exciting. The fact that from a college basketball perspective, I was checking that out, watching your Cougs. Very excited about the 49-25 rebounding advantage and the way they hammered the boards and got the easy win. I was a little concerned that after SMU got them in a tight one that was going to be a bigger game than it should have been, but they handled their business. That was fantastic. But like you said, man, look, getting ready for March Madness, when you get, six of the top 10 teams in the country getting upset.
It was seven. Seven on one day. First time that's ever happened in college basketball history.
That's what you call parity. It's what builds excitement and makes everybody have more hope for what could be just another phenomenal March Madness, and that's what everybody's hoping for. So I think that's great.
Yeah. Yeah, it is fun. Looks like the Cougars, one more win, wrap up another regular season championship, and then the American Conference tournament to follow, and then the NCAA tournament following that as well, which, by the way, that does remind me that ESPN 97.5, again, will be running our bracket challenge as we do each and every year. It's free for all listeners, and we can fill out a bracket too so you can see where you stack up against us. It's that time again, ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5's fourth annual Bracket Madness presented by Bud Light, supported by Rambler Sparkling Water. We're giving prizes to 97.5 winners. Yep, the .5 winner, I don't know what that says. The penultimate winner, second to last in the whole bracket, you'll be getting a prize as well. And did we mention that this is all free? Prizes include $50 gift cards to the Burger Joint, Chewy's Fine, Tex-Mex, Smashburger, and much more. Head to ESPN975.com to register now. It's Bracket Madness presented by Bud Light, America's
Whoever finishes 97 and a half or something, and I don't know how they get the half. But
yeah, I don't know either. But, yeah, it's a whole lot of fun. Everybody loves filling out their brackets, and it's just around the corner. So you can get a head start on that as you head over to ESPN975.com to register. It's free, and you can potentially win prizes. So what's there to lose? There's absolutely nothing to lose. Meanwhile, Houston Rockets losing yesterday to the L.A. Clippers.
Perfect.
Played a close game.
Did exactly what they were supposed to do. Keep it close for 3.5 quarters and find a way to wet the bed.
Yeah, exactly. They lose yesterday to the Clippers by a point. Jalen Green had an opportunity late in the game, 3-point shot. I love the fact that he was taking the shot, had the courage to take the shot. Steven Silas, too, mentioned that, look, he's not going to ever be fearful for that moment. Jalen Green did not have a good game yesterday. But going into this game, watching Jalen Green play for, like, the last 10 games or so, I feel like we're starting to see the development of Jalen Green. And look, yesterday he had a poor shooting game, 4 of 18, 2 for 10. That's going to happen. But I like the fact that he's taking the shots, playing 38 minutes. But you look at the previous 8 games before the Clipper game yesterday, Jalen Green averaging 17 points in those 9 games, shooting it at a high clip, too, which is something that you want to see him do better at and improve at, 48% from the floor, 42% from the 3-point line. I think we're starting to see the development we all wanted to see with Jalen Green.
That's great. That's great, and I hope it continues. And I think that some of the things that you didn't see because all the things that you just said you didn't see last night. His shooting percentage was god-awful. But I did like what was coming out of his mouth, too, in terms of the quotes, in terms of, like, as long as my teammates get me the ball, but at the same time, I want to get them the ball because it's about where we play as a team. I think that's what I wanted to hear. Because I told you, the All-Star Weekend is only going to promote the individuality on the floor of Jalen Green.
Yeah.
But what we really need to see is the development of the team playing Jalen Green. And I think that's great. I think Dennis Schroeder, again, this is something that I said to you guys the minute that they traded for him, when everybody said, that's a buyout. It's an instantaneous buyout. He has no place here. And I said that he was going to be a guy that could assist in a lot of ways in the development of a lot of these young players. He's been fantastic for this team. And he's helping in so many ways to develop him and KPJ and even Josh Christopher and especially Şengün. And that's what I like to see. And so for Jalen Green, we already knew that he was going to be billed as a star. Anybody that gets taken number 2 in the draft is going to be looked at as a potential star. Now I want to see the development of the rest of the team, and I want to see them come together. And they had flashes last night where they actually were executing. They were unselfish. They were moving the ball. When you look at the plus minuses and how many guys were in double figures last night, that's the kind of production that you want to see. Unlike when we were talking about with the Texans and where they're going to be and what plan they're trying to put together, this is a team right now that already has enough talent that you just want to see them starting to take the first couple of steps forward so that they can add more pieces to the puzzle. You've seen enough of a lot of guys to know what they bring to the table, and you like it. You love Jayshon Tate, though. It was a little bit of a unexpected blow when you heard during the All-Star Weekend. He's actually 26 years old, because most people think, because it was his first chance coming into the league, that he was as young or close to as young as everybody else on the squad. So he's a little bit past the developmental stage to where the rest of the team is, but he still has a place on this roster. But for the rest of the young kids, you just want to see them develop and come together so that you see progress. And that's what you want to see out of all of them, not just Jalen Green.
It's a little concerning, too, with the setup of how this offense flows, because it doesn't always flow through Jalen Green. So Jalen Green's having to get his, even whenever the flow of the offense is not through him. And then a secondary note to that is like Alpi Şengün. Alpi Şengün playing 16 minutes yesterday and scoring 15 points in those 16 minutes. Like, you wish you would see some more offense focused through him as well. So I like the direction. I really like what I'm seeing from Jalen Green recently, especially with the opportunity he's been given, but the fact that the offense isn't always flowing through him. Same thing with Şengün. I think where the question comes into play is how Rafael Stone's looking at Steven Silas and if he's evaluating Steven Silas for his job. Because there's a lot of nights where I feel like Steven Silas is coaching for his job, where he's coaching for wins. But here's the problem with that. If Steven Silas is coaching for his job, that means you're getting minutes to Eric Gordon. It means you're giving minutes to Christian Wood because those guys give you the best chance to win currently. And that, to me, derails the development. So, like, those two dudes, Rafael Stone and Steven Silas, they should be coming together working on a plan. Because if Steven Silas, I feel like right now, every single night, he's trying to coach to win games because he's coaching for his job. And that hurts the development of the younger players.
See, I don't think wins are coaching for his job. But I think that what I've been critical of him is getting through to the young players so we just see some of the development that I was asking to see. To see the guys sharing the basketball. To see the guys doing the things they need to do, working on their handles if you're KPJ or Jalen Green. You know, doing the kind of things that Josh Christopher's already done. Stay late, work extra on your shot, do the things so that you can actually prove you're an NBA player worthy of time in the rotation. I think absolutely Şengün needs more touches. I think the fact that, like I've been adamant about, when you didn't trade Gordon and you didn't trade Wood, then that you don't need to see much of them anymore the rest of the season because they're not in your long-term plans or development, and you need to keep them healthy so that they have value to somebody else. But the value for you is developing the kids that you have on this roster, and between now and the end of the regular season, seeing if you can get them to take that first step forward, seeing to improve shooting percentages. Both KPJ and Green have to be better ball handlers next season.
Yeah, see, I don't want them to be the point guard next year.
No, and I agree with that. Yeah. That's why I said what Schroeder does more than anything else, too, when he first got him, is you let them play their natural positions. And I think Green is undersized in terms of his muscles and his development physically to be a three. But otherwise, eventually, when he fills out, he's going to be a three. I think that KPJ is going to be a two more than a one because he's a scorer. He's proven he can be a three-point shooter, but he's not a ball handler or a decision maker the way a point guard needs to be with these two guys playing together. But there's a place for all these guys. I think the key is also going to be, from Silas's perspective, what are you running on both ends of the floor? Because if you're just throwing the ball out there, it's noticeable. And if you see these guys, that's going to stunt their development as much as playing Wood and playing Eric Gordon. So I think that as much as everybody, you know, Steven Silas is a great guy. He didn't sign up for all this.
Right. He didn't.
But, you know, all those things can be true. But he also could be the wrong guy for this team. And right now, because it isn't a veteran-laden team that he thought he was signing up for, and he didn't expect to have this many young players under the age of 21, maybe it's not the right team for him, and that's why he is going to be judged between now and the end of the regular season. I don't think wins and losses have anything to do with it.
If you're making the call, is Steven Silas back with the Rockets next
year? He's not.
You're moving on?
He is not. He's not. I'm moving on because I've got too much talent on this roster to develop, and I don't think he's the right guy for the job. I think that if he got a young up-and-coming squad in the NBA, like him in Charlotte, would be fantastic because he's got players that he knows have established themselves. He's got a few veterans here or there sprinkled in, but he can create an offense and he can do some things with those guys. You got to have a buy-in from these young kids too. And from what I'm hearing, there's more buy-in for John Lucas than there are Steven Silas. They love him as a person, but they're not following his lead and direction on a nightly basis.
Yeah, I don't love the how many minutes Eric Gordon's getting. I don't love how many minutes Christian Wood is getting. I feel like Steven Silas, I feel like we're watching him coach for his job by playing the veterans over some of these younger players, and I don't think it's a great sign for the future of Steven Silas. 713-780-ESPN. Would you move on from Steven Silas going into the NBA offseason? 713-780-3776. When we return, are we going to see another big change in the NFL this offseason? Offseason is here. The combine starts tomorrow. Franchise tag designations are due soon. The legal tampering period will be here before we know it. Are we going to see a big change in the NFL this offseason? We discuss when we return. Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5.
Stay up to date with the latest innovations hitting the city of Houston by visiting innovationmap.com or follow them on any of your social media platforms. Just search Innovation Map. Razor-sharp commentaries delivered with a purpose. You found the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
We'll get to John in just a moment. He wants to talk Rockets, but Jeff Passan, Major League Baseball and the MLBPA are meeting again today. Of course, Major League Baseball is saying that if there's not a deal done by today, then they're willing to push the actually not push the season back. They're willing to get rid of regular season games. Jeff Passan is saying that the rhetoric is ratcheting up. Evan Drelick said Major League Baseball suggested in the first meeting with the MLBPA today that the league is willing to cancel a month's worth of games. What that means or whether it's simply a threat is unclear, but players have taken it as a clear threat. It's interesting looking at all this. Like, there's leaks everywhere. I saw some stories yesterday where they looked like they were in striking distance. Now it seems like they're very far apart. Like, it's all leaks from both sides. Like, I'm so over the media reporting of this. Like, give me an answer. Like, are we going to miss games? Are we going to have a deal done? That's kind of where I'm at with this whole CBA talk.
I'm with the fact that no one, and we've seen this in the history of all the major sports leagues when they go through something like this, no one wants to see millionaires and billionaires fighting over dollars and cents, right? Yep. They just want to see what they've always grown to accustomed to seeing, which is baseball. So don't deprive the fans. And this is a team, this is a league and a commissioner that has already taken more hits and done more things to turn more people off that cannot afford to keep doing these kind of things that is basically they're setting the table right now to do it yet again. And they're already the worst marketed of the big three. They're already losing people no matter what they're gaining or think that they're still making in revenue, and they're making money. But the fact is, this is such stupidity, and the players already hate Manfred. No matter what anybody wants to say, he's right now the most hated commissioner in any of the major three sports have seen in quite a while. And the fact that what he's doing and how he's going about doing it and trying to lead the media and the fans down a road that is a complete dead end that no one believes is just adding more fuel to the fire that they are absolutely done with Rob Manfred.
Yeah, I'm hoping that we get some news at some point today that says something has been agreed to, spring training is back on, even if it means that, like, we've gotten to a point where we feel comfortable that there's going to be a CBA done in a month, so we're going to drop the lockout, we're going to start the season on time as we continue to work to a new CBA. Like, that to me is what I'm hopeful for. I mean, obviously a new deal would be great as well. But it is frustrating. And a little bit later on, we'll ask you the question, how does the lockout and as we move forward to what is a deadline day, according to Major League Baseball and the owners, how does that make you feel? We'll discuss it later on. But let's go out to the HRMP listener line. John wants to talk Rockets. And John, you're in the Hive with the Killer Bees. Go ahead.
Hey, fellas. Great show as always. Appreciate you guys. You make a great point. Silas, at this time, is coaching for his job. However, Mr. Stone is directly responsible for hindering the development of the young players. How? Well, number one, he overvalues his trade chips. And that right there, Wood and Gordon should have already been removed from the roster. So if I have to point the finger at somebody, yeah, it's going to be Mr. Stone. Mr. I'll hold everybody down while I pat myself on the back when I get my first rounders. Thank you, guys.
Thanks, John. Appreciate it. Look, you know, when Aggie Matt wanted to know if I, you know, have any bias, can we just bury that once and for all? Because most of the things that I've said to you guys already have come to fruition. And I love this Rockets franchise because I put too much of my blood, sweat, and tears into it to want to have any hatred that would carry. I want to see this team succeed. I have too many friends that are still working there. But I also know the incompetency of some of the people that are there doing some of the things that they're doing. So what I'm telling you is all not from the heart. It's just from the standpoint of knowledgeable experience with the franchise. When I look at it, I want Steven Silas to – I've never met the man and spent any time with him in my life talking basketball. But I've talked to enough people that have. I've heard enough press conferences. I've seen enough and talked to people that know him very well. I want him to succeed. I know he didn't sign up for this. Sometimes it's just not in the cards to be the right situation for either the players and or the coach. And that's one of these deals. I didn't know if that was going to be the case going in. I'm starting to know more and more every single time I see them take the floor that it's not the right scenario. No matter what he did in Dallas with Luka, no matter what he did offensively, he had a ton of veterans around them that were willing to do whatever he said and follow whatever he laid out and drew up on a chalkboard. This is a different team. It's a different era in terms of the league itself, but especially when you have this many young players on one roster. And it's harder to connect with them and then keep them engaged. And I don't know that Silas is that guy. And what I'm seeing is systems that aren't being run on either side of the ball, and it's hindering them. It's fine to hinder them because you want another high draft pick. It's not going to be fine in a year or two, and I'm not sure he survives this offseason because on top of that, because of what John had called about, Rafael Stone is starting to feel some heat. He's going to feel more. And the only way he could deflect that is put some of it on Silas, make a move with Silas, and try to create a little bit more space for himself for the next year or two while he continues to add to this roster.
Can we just take a moment to acknowledge that John might have had the most polite call in sports radio history?
It was good, yeah.
He started with thanks right off the bat, but the key thing here was Mr. Stone. Mr. Stone, Mr. Stone, Mr. Stone. I've never heard anybody refer to, any athlete, management, coach, whatever, GM, owner, as Mr. Whatever.
I think it's because Rafael Stone's a little difficult to pronounce.
I guess that's fair. I just thought it was polite.
I don't think I've ever butchered Rafael Stone's name. I butchered a lot of names on the show. I don't think Rafael Stone's one.
I was just trying to give him credit, but Jeremy might be right.
Yeah, but appreciate the politeness, though, John. I think he makes good points, too. I mean, the fact that Christian – this is something that I admitted to being wrong to. I said at the trade deadline that they shouldn't settle for less for Christian Wood, that they shouldn't settle for less for Eric Gordon. And I apologize to you for having what I considered – looking back at it, a bad take. And I walked it back and I admitted my wrongs because but those two should always work together because Stone has now put Silas in a position where Silas, I think, is coaching for his job and now he's playing Eric Gordon 30-something minutes. He's playing Christian Wu 30-something minutes because he's trying to win games currently and they give him the best chance to win games currently, but it's not in the best interest of the long-term interest of the Houston Rockets because they should be Jalen Green's playing the minutes, but Jalen Green should be getting the ball in his hands and building the offense around him. Same thing whenever Şengün's in the game. Go through the low post, whether it's putting him on the elbows and Vlade Divac-ing it. Sometimes they even put him on the perimeter and let him create from there. That should be the most often used offense for what is the forward plight of the Houston Rockets in this rebuild with them. So they should be working together. I don't really get the sense that they work that well together, to be honest.
No, and here's the thing, Jeremy, too. At a certain point when we talk about Texans, we talk about what the head coach means. You're the leader of men and you're the CEO. As the leader of men and a CEO, what it comes down to sometimes is when Christian Wood decides he's better than everybody else and he can pull that three-pointer when he should be moving the ball around, I'm going to pull your ass out of the game. I'm going to sit you down. And I don't care how many tantrums you're going to make and how many apologies you have to do the next day because you've embarrassed yourself. Whatever is done is done. We know exactly who you are, and nothing's going to change that. And we know exactly what we want to do with you. It's just a matter of getting the right team to partake in it and now settling for less because you missed the trade deadline. From the standpoint of Eric Gordon, it's the same thing. Because you see the players, especially the young players, get completely frustrated on a play-by-play basis when they get the ball on the offensive end and Gordon decides to go one-on-four. And Gordon decides that no matter what, he's getting his shot up. And you can see the body language, everything from Garrison Matthews to Jalen Green, they just slap their hands down on their thighs and they go down to the other end and it's like, well, there's a wasted possession because it's Eric Gordon time. I don't want to see any of that. And from the Green perspective, it's the same thing too. If you pull the one-on-two step back three and you're not attacking the basket and you're not making things happen inside the three-point line, I'm going to sit you down. I'm going to tell you to watch for a little while and try to do the things that I'm telling you is going to not only make you better, it's going to make us better. Same thing with Kevin Porter Jr. You're going to turn it over. You're going to get ticked off and kind of zone out on me. I'm going to sit you down. If you don't like it and you want to go on a tantrum, then that's on you. But what I'm here to do is coach this team to get the best results. And that's what I'm not seeing in Steven Silas. That has nothing to do with what I know of and what I've heard of and what I've seen of a really good guy that's a basketball lifer. But he's not right for this situation, in my mind, the way I see it playing out.
713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. Blank and Branham, Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5. So the NFL is going to hear some proposals, I think they already have, from several teams of rule proposals going into next season and into the offseason. They want to change the overtime rules where both offenses have a chance to touch the football. There's some teams are saying they want to do this even in the regular season. There's another couple of teams that only want to do it in the postseason. I believe it's a silly rule that it's still in place the way that it currently is. We saw it, of course, in the Bills-Chiefs game. We also saw it in the Bengals-Chiefs game, but it was more relevant in the Bills-Chiefs game because the Bills didn't have a chance to touch the football. And everybody always tells you, well, you got to have two sides of the ball. It's football is an offense and a defensive game. Yeah, I agree. That's why the Chiefs defense should have done something to try to win that game in overtime. I relate it to baseball. It's like the home team not having a chance to hit in the bottom of the 10th, that they should have the opportunity. Do you think this overtime rule is going to get changed? Or are you a fan of it getting changed?
I think it is, and I think I am a fan of it. I think it's all because of the fact that sometimes, especially with an old school league like the NFL, it takes a game like that Bills-Chiefs game to kick them in the butt and say, the time is now, right? You know what? They can kick it around. Their competition committees can mull it over. They can say, we've been thinking about it. But they're very tough to get to change their ways. And now something like this is going to actually force their hand into saying, you know what? Okay, we get it. It's time. Because there's been too much attention drawn to it. There's too many people that said they didn't want to see that game end that way because it was such a phenomenal game. And we talked about, like, games in the history of the league. Even when we were talking about, like, you wish you were alive for or were in person for some of those games, it's getting harder and harder to come up with things. But we were talking about, you know, the Immaculate Reception or, you know, the Tuck Rule game. But those were games that were so compelling you didn't want to step away from. And that was that Chiefs-Bills game. And you should have ended at the very highest of highs going, wow, I just witnessed one of the greatest games in NFL history. And instead, you had too many people walking away upset with the way it all went down and the fact that it was controlled by league rules instead of the two best players duking it out. And I think that's why it'll change.
Yeah, I say it's the home team not getting an opportunity to bat in the bottom of the 10th. It's also a tennis reference there too, right? You don't get a chance to serve. You don't get a chance to hold serve. Brendan has a thought that, you know, there's a certain amount of people that are on both sides of this, right? Half the people want it changed. Half the people don't really care. But if the change does happen and the NFL guarantees possession of the football to both teams in the overtime period, no one's actually going to dislike that, right? Like, even the people are saying that, don't change the rule. Don't change the rule. You don't need change. If the NFL does change it, do you think they're going to be that upset about it?
No.
No. They're going to be like, oh, more football. More football. That's great. That's
God
awesome.
God forbid we have to watch a second overtime between Patrick Mahomes and Josh Allen.
Yeah. How dare Josh Allen have to touch the football again? I can't have this in my NFL viewing experience. 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. Could the coming weeks for Nick Caserio tell us a lot about where the Texans think they are? We explain when we return. Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5.
ESPN 97.5.
Stop the podcast.
Stop the podcast.
Hi, everybody. Just to let you know, this episode of Fish is sponsored by TV licensing.
Yes, TV licensing. What are you watching on TV, Andy?
I have been watching a show that's called 2 Weeks in August.
Okay.
Despite it being July at the time of recording.
Oh, you don't have to watch TV shows in the time that their name references.
No, absolutely. I watched The Darling Buds of May in winter. Anyway, 2 Weeks in August. It's a really good series. It's set on a lovely Mediterranean holiday.
Ooh.
And it's a group of old mates from uni who've gathered together. Some of them have got kids. Some of them haven't. Some of them have been going through big life events. And it's one of those amazing pressure cooker series where things just get more and more and more tense.
Oh, those stressful ones.
I love it. I love it.
I love my comedy, I gotta say. So I've been watching Android, which is Diane Morgan's new thing, and I absolutely love it. But I just, for me, I always, on television, watch everything with someone from Bolton in it. That's basically all I watch.
And she's from Bolton.
She's from Bolton.
But in this show, I believe she's a robot.
She's a robot, and it is not certain where in the country she's from.
It depends where the facility is that makes her, I suppose.
I guess so. But what are we actually here to say?
Oh, we're here to say that if you want to watch any of these shows, your TV license covers you to watch over 400 TV channels and everything on BBC iPlayer.
That is incredible.
So 2 Weeks in August has finished going out now, but you can get hold of it on the iPlayer.
If you want to find out more about this, then go to tvl.co.uk/pod.
Now back to the tension and the stress and the misery of this episode of Fish.
Oh, I thought you were referencing Bolton. On with the podcast.